Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we are talking about the trade the Steelers made yesterday for Ryan Switzer from the Oakland Raiders. Switzer, a wide receiver and return specialist who was traded to the Raiders earlier this offseason in a player-for-player trade from the Dallas Cowboys. This certainly shores up some of the issues the Steelers have had in the return game. Of course, there was hope that Quadri Henderson could make a splash and be the return guy this year. That hasn't happened just yet. The Steelers certainly did not give up much for Ryan Switzer, and it does make the picture clearer at wide receiver and maybe even running back. We're going to talk about all of that today, the implications of this trade, why they went out and got Ryan Switzer, what they're getting in Ryan Switzer, how much they gave up to get him, and what this means for the other wide receivers and returners on this team. I don't know that this is even going to be the end of the Steelers making trades, right? You know, it used to be that trades in the NFL and certainly with the Steelers were very, very rare. And yet this new CBA with the idea that the cuts only happen in kind of one fell swoop, right? The teams now go from 90 players all the way down to 53, where it used to be staggered. I believe they used to go down to 75 and then 53. Now, with the teams just going straight from 90 to 53, you don't have that intermediary step where teams can see other players that who have been released, kind of pick them up and try them out for a little bit before making their roster cuts all the way to 53. And it's led to these kind of trades. This is the second year in a row now, or maybe the third year in a row, that we've seen the Steelers make a trade at the end of the year. Last year, it was Vance McDonald who was traded in. They also traded for J.J. Wilcox at the end of preseason last year. I don't know that this is the last time we're going to say that the Steelers made a trade this offseason. I still think there's a possibility that they ship someone out, maybe someone like Josh Dobbs, who has no likelihood of making this roster. I don't know how much they can get back for Josh Dobbs, but he would certainly be someone you have to imagine the Steelers would be willing to part with. I think L.J. Fort, with the way Matthew Thomas is playing right now, you can make an argument he might be shipped out in some way. And the Steelers still have question marks with depth at tight end. So you could see them going there. Still depth on the offensive line if they want to keep a ninth offensive lineman. I don't know that player is on this roster. You could see the Steelers go out and get someone there as well. So I don't think, again, we're going to talk about this trade today, but I don't think it's the last time we'll be talking about a Steelers trade this offseason. But let's start today with some news and notes. And Josh Gordon, the wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns, who returned to the team about a week ago. You saw his return on Hard Knocks last week. He's still not practicing with the team. He's got a tight hamstring, according to the team, so he is not practicing just yet. And Hugh Jackson saying that Josh Gordon will not start against the Pittsburgh Steelers in that opener. Now, whether or not he starts versus whether or not he plays in the game are very different things, right? Hugh Jackson saying Gordon will not start the game, meaning that he will not play the first play of the game. But whether or not he plays, I think it's very likely that Josh Gordon plays in that football game. Again, Josh Gordon's so important to that team and what they want to do offensively. He's a real playmaker for that offense. So I think even though he won't start the game, it's very likely he will play. But what's going to be interesting about that is that, you have Le'Veon Bell returning back to the Steelers later this week. He'll probably return on Friday or Saturday, just like he did a year ago. The Steelers are going to have a player who comes in without any time in training camp, no preseason action, very limited practice time, and try to work him in, right? The Browns are going to be dealing with that very same thing in Josh Gordon. Again, Josh Gordon missed all of training camp. He will not play on Thursday in that final preseason game, according to Hugh Jackson. So he will not have any preseason reps under his belt. He's going to have very limited practice time. Again, when is he back from that hamstring? Is he back this week, early next week, right? It's going to be interesting to watch both players and kind of how they look in that opener. Odell Beckham Jr. has a new contract, 6 years, $98.4 million from the New York Giants. That, according to Josina Anderson of ESPN, that makes his average yearly salary $16.4 million per season. That makes him the second highest paid wide receiver by annual salary, just behind Antonio Brown, who makes $17 million a season. Again, Antonio Brown still the highest paid wide receiver in annual salary. But the big difference here between the deal that the Steelers gave to Antonio Brown and the deal that Odell Beckham Jr. just got from the New York Giants is, of course, in the guaranteed money. Odell Beckham Jr.'s contract is for $98.4 million in total, $65 million of that fully guaranteed by the New York Giants. You compare that to Antonio Brown's deal, where he had just $19 million of his contract guaranteed. And you can see how differently the Steelers do business in these big contracts. And again, I know we've talked a lot about that Le'Veon Bell deal, but again, you know, the Steelers just are not willing to give out the kind of guaranteed money that the rest of the NFL is just seemingly so easily giving out these days. Now, speaking of Antonio Brown, he returned to practice yesterday, and even if it's just in a limited capacity, still great to see. Again, Antonio Brown has had some injury problems throughout camp that has kept him, you know, kind of going up and down as far as whether or not he's practicing or not. Glad to hear he's returned in a limited capacity. Still got a while to go now before the start of the season. I hope he can be ready to go by then. I expect him to be ready to go by the opener. T.J. Watt also returning to practice, this time in a full capacity. He's been practicing in individual drills so far. He is back in a full capacity. And according to Jacob Klinger of Penn Live, who talked to Bud Dupree after practice yesterday, T.J. Watt could play this week if it were a regular season game, and that's very encouraging to hear. Again, T.J. Watt had missed pretty much all of training camp and all of preseason to this point with that hamstring. The question now is going to be, does T.J. Watt see the field at all on Thursday in the final preseason game? I don't expect to see a lot of starters out there in that game, but you wonder, does Tomlin want to get T.J. Watt some reps in this preseason before putting him out there against Cleveland? You know, the other question there is, he's just returning from this hamstring. Do you want to, you know, risk re-aggravation in any capacity? We'll see what Tomlin says. He has a press conference tomorrow. We'll see what he says at that press conference. Jesse James practiced yesterday, which is huge. Again, the issues the Steelers have had with injuries at the tight end position, you know, have been, you know, catastrophic in some ways, right? With Vance McDonald being down for so long, now Xavier Grimble has been down for a while. If Jesse James were to go down, that would be all three projected players to make the 53-man roster going down with injury. I'm glad to see Jesse James back at practice, and what a warrior this guy is. Never missed a game in his career. And the Steelers really need him to be that warrior right now, considering a lot of the injuries they've had at tight end. On the offensive line, Ramon Foster was a partial participant at practice yesterday. Really encouraging sign for him. Again, a guy who went down with a knee injury early in camp that looked, you know, catastrophic, and it ends up being not as bad. The hope was always that he could be back and ready to go for week one. And here we are the Monday the week before the opener. It does seem like with Ramon Foster returning to practice that he should, you know, if he continues in a partial capacity throughout this week, works his way into full participation in practice next week, he should be ready to go for that opener. And then Mike Hilton, the cornerback who's been down since that Green Bay game, seemingly hurt his leg at some point in that game. No word on what the leg injury is exactly, but according to Jim Wexel of 24/7 Sports, Mike Hilton does expect to be ready to go for week one. He's not back at practice just yet, so we'll see what happens with him as he starts to work his way back. But Mike Hilton saying he expects to be ready to go for week one. And then finally, you know, as long as we're talking injuries and the guys coming back, and certainly we're starting to see a lot of these players return back, whether it's AB or TJ Watt or Ramon Foster, there's still no word on what's going on with Vance McDonald, the tight end who has been injured since the third day of training camp. Of course, so injured a year ago that, you know, he was basically a non-factor throughout the season. Had a fantastic game against the Jaguars. So much expectations for him coming into this season. And yet here we are right before the fourth preseason game and no word yet. Not only is Vance McDonald not practicing, we have no idea what this foot injury even is and when he could return. Kevin Colbert said a couple days ago on the radio that the expectation is that Vance McDonald can be ready to go for week one, but we have seen no indication of that so far. So very disappointing from Vance McDonald. Before we get to this trade, I do want to let you know that the Locked On NFL podcast is becoming the Locked On NFL of experts. Matt Williamson, the host of that show, has a brand new lineup every Monday. It's going to be Locked On's local experts on the biggest stories. Then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus will join every Wednesday, and ESPN's Mike Sando joins on Thursdays. Be sure to follow Locked On NFL on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast to check it out. All right, and then let's talk about Ryan Switzer, the player the Steelers acquired yesterday via trade with the Oakland Raiders. Switzer was drafted last year by the Dallas Cowboys, spent the year with them as both their kick and punt return specialist, and then was traded to the Raiders earlier this offseason in a player-for-player trade. He's now been traded to the Steelers, and the Steelers didn't give up a whole lot to get him. They end up trading a fifth-round pick to the Raiders in exchange for Ryan Switzer and the Raiders' sixth-round pick a year from now. So essentially, the Steelers moved down in the fifth round, really moved down from the fifth to the sixth round to get Ryan Switzer. They don't even end up trading a draft pick. They really just move down. And if you consider the fact that the Steelers are going to be pretty good this year, right, as far as a record, so they're going to have a late round pick. The Raiders, on the other hand, you know, they're going to be a middle of the pack team. Let's say they are. That puts them in the middle of the round as far as where that pick would be. That means that the Steelers are going to have moved down 10, 20 picks to get a returner and a backup slot receiver. And that's just not a bad deal for the Steelers, especially given where they were at this position, right? Punt returner became a real position of need after Saturday's game against the Titans. Quadri Henderson, not impressive enough just yet to earn a spot on the 53-man roster. Again, I thought his performance was underrated, but he didn't need an underrated performance. He needed a spectacular performance, and he hasn't had it yet. For Cam Sutton, he fumbled, right? I mean, so that pretty much ended any chance he had of being the punt returner, and Tomlin already hates giving defensive players return duties anyway. So, you know, that was pretty much over before it began, but the fumble kind of sealed the deal there. Yes, Eli Rogers could be the punt returner this year, but he's very likely going to start the year on the PUP list, meaning that he's going to miss the first 6 weeks of the season at least. And that meant that Antonio Brown was again becoming the only option at punt returner early in the year. And for a 30-year-old Antonio Brown to still be returning punts, again, you just can't have that going into this season. So this was definitely a position of need for the team, and I'm glad to see them going out and addressing it. The Steelers did have to release a player in order to make room for him, to make room for Switzer on the roster. So they release wide receiver Justin Thomas, a player who had been in that punt return rotation. We saw him earlier in camp and earlier in preseason returning punts. Not impressive overall, and he didn't get any reps on Saturday. Switzer will wear 18, which is the same number that Justin Thomas wore. Now, I know that's kind of cold, right, that Switzer immediately takes the same number as Justin Thomas. But when you consider the fact that this is still a 90-man roster, this is still, all the numbers are pretty much taken at this point. The only numbers left for Switzer were pretty much 12, which is Terry Bradshaw's number. They don't give that one out. An 86, which is Hines Ward's old number. And they don't give that one out either. He pretty much had no choice but to take 18. Now, let's talk about what we're getting in Ryan Switzer. As I said, he's both a kick and punt return specialist, or that's what he did for Dallas last season. As a kick returner, he was very good a year ago. He averaged 25 yards per return, putting him at third best in the NFL. Comparing that to the Steelers, who were just averaging 19.1 yards per return, putting them at 29th. In the NFL, one of the worst teams at kick return a year ago. At punt return, he was also pretty good, 8.8 yards per return, 13th in the NFL, a little above average. The Steelers, on the other hand, 6.9 yards per return, 23rd in the NFL, again, bottom third of the league. He's going to be a much better kick or punt returner than we've had in the past. Again, you know, the Steelers last year fielding Terrell Watson, Fitzgerald Toussaint, Juju at kick returner. Punt returner was probably better in Eli Rogers and Antonio Brown, but they just weren't able to deliver. Switzer can also play slot receiver, and he was limited there last year, just had a few catches, mostly because the Cowboys already had Cole Beasley. And so, you know, Switzer was very much a backup slot receiver last year. The Cowboys acquired Tavon Austin from the LA Rams, and that's what made Switzer expendable. So he went to Oakland, where he was beat out by Dwayne Harris in their training camp for the punt and kick return job there, which of course made him expendable again in Oakland, now lands him here in Pittsburgh. I know it's not a great look for Switzer to end up on his third team in just 2 years, right? Why didn't the Cowboys want him as a kick returner? Why didn't Oakland want him as a kick or punt returner, right? Valid questions. I do like Ryan Switzer, especially liked him coming out of college. He played with Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. Trubisky, of course, now the Chicago Bears quarterback. He had 96 catches, 1,112 yards in his senior year out of the slot. He's a good route runner, knows how to find space and create after the catch. I think he's going to be the backup slot receiver here in Pittsburgh, at least for a little while, right? Behind Juju, until Eli Rogers is healthy. Once Eli Rogers is healthy again, he'll take over. But again, Eli going to start on PUP. He'll miss the first 6 weeks. I think Switzer has proven himself as a good kick returner, punt returner, above average. I know some of that has to do with the return game or the special teams units themselves and not just Switzer himself. But Switzer certainly going to be an upgrade from where the Steelers were last season. And then let's talk about the 53-man roster and which players I think are going to be affected by this acquisition. I'll start with Marcus Tucker, who on my roster right now was the backup slot receiver. I think there's no way really for Marcus Tucker to make the roster at this point. He's certainly been a disappointment based on the hype coming out of OTAs, coming out of minicamp. There was all this talk about he could be a real factor as at the slot receiver position. The Steelers tried that out early in camp, and he was effective there. He went down with injury. Really, since that injury, he hasn't been the same. He's been a non-factor so far in preseason as a receiver. Better on special teams, but I think a real disappointment so far from Marcus Tucker. Trey Griffey is another guy who's gotten some looks at the slot receiver position. Certainly got better and better throughout camp and even got some looks at slot receiver with the first team on Saturday. Well deserved for a player showing such big improvement throughout camp, but not enough to make this roster, right? I mean, this is still a guy who's going to be a practice squad candidate. If Trey Griffey was entering into the Steelers' minds as far as someone they were going to have to keep at that backup slot receiver position, it tells you everything you need to know about why the Steelers felt like they had to go out and get a guy like Ryan Switzer. And then Quadri Henderson as well. I think this is pretty much the end of the line for him. He needed a splash play. He didn't get it. I will be interested to see how he's used on Thursday. Does he split reps with Switzer? Does Toussaint still see some reps at kick return? But I think at this point there is no chance Quadri Henderson can make this team. At running back, I think you can rule out Fitzgerald Toussaint completely. I think Ridley and Samuels are kind of fighting for one spot at this point, maybe two if they decide they want to keep both. But Toussaint and his kick return game is pretty much out now with Switzer being brought on. So I don't think there's any way Toussaint can make the roster. At wide receiver, I'm pretty much just going to take out Marcus Tucker and put in Ryan Switzer. And there you have your six receivers I think make this team. Antonio Brown, Juju, James Washington, Justin Hunter, Darius Heyward-Bey, and Ryan Switzer. I've seen a lot of talk about Damone Patterson and a lot of people saying that this means he won't make the roster or he's going to have a very tough time now making the roster. I don't see that, right? I mean, look, I still think it's a long road for Damone Patterson to make this roster, but I don't think that the acquisition of Ryan Switzer changes anything about Damone Patterson's path to the 53, right? He's not a slot receiver, so he wasn't really competing with Trey Griffey or with Marcus Tucker. Very much could have been the case that Trey Griffey makes the team and Damone Patterson makes the team, or Tucker makes the team and Patterson makes the team. I really don't think that was a one or the other type position. These are two guys competing for different positions on the roster. Patterson has to beat out either Darius Heyward-Bey or Justin Hunter, right? He has to prove that he's a more reliable outside receiver than Justin Hunter and someone that this team can depend on if Antonio Brown were to be down with injury or if James Washington were to be down with injury, or he has to be a better special teams player than Darius Heyward-Bey is right now. We haven't seen him do either throughout training camp and throughout preseason yet, right? He's been very explosive at times at wide receiver, but he has to be more consistent, and he's going to have a fantastic game against Carolina as both a special teamer and a wide receiver to prove himself over two veterans in Justin Hunter and Darius Heyward-Bey. I still think he's unlikely to make the roster, right? I just don't think that has anything to do with the fact that the Steelers brought in Ryan Switzer. I think Patterson is still at this point destined to be on the practice squad. Overall, I really do like this trade. I mean, number one, it's a no-risk trade, right? The Steelers are moving down, I think at max, like 20 picks, right, in order to get Ryan Switzer. They're not even losing a draft pick to go out and get this guy. So in that way, they didn't really give up anything to get him. It was a position of need, and it shows the Steelers have re-emphasized the return game, right? Last year, we were terrible in the return game, as I talked about, but that's because it wasn't a priority to Mike Tomlin and this football team, right? When you've got Terrell Watson returning kicks, it's not a priority to you, right? And Eli Rogers was a better punt returner, but after he fumbled against Chicago, they went right back to Antonio Brown in the position, and I get that Antonio Brown has been in the past a very electric punt returner, but he's at a point in his career where, he's 29, he was 29 a year ago, he's 30 this season, he can't be out there returning punts, and so I'm glad to see that this team is putting an emphasis again on the return game. I know they went out and got Quadri Henderson, but Quadri Henderson was going to have to be an excellent returner in order for them to keep him because he didn't provide anything as a wide receiver. Switzer, on the other hand, can be a backup slot receiver, which is exactly what they need. And again, he was one of the better return guys in the NFL last season. The Steelers haven't really prioritized this position since they got Jacoby Jones a couple years ago, and they got so burned by that, right? I mean, again, Jacoby Jones, another one of those guys who couldn't really be anything on this team other than a return specialist. And let's be honest, he was terrible as a returner that year. Not only bad in the return game, but he had ball security issues. I mean, the Steelers really did get burned there, and they've really de-emphasized the position since. I'm glad to see that they've kind of woken up and are going back to emphasizing the return game. Look, one of the things we don't talk enough about, no one talks enough about in the NFL, is the hidden yards in the return game, or the hidden yards of field position, starting field position, that kind of thing. The Steelers last year had the fourth best offense as far as average drive length, right? Their average drives were the fourth most efficient in the NFL, but their average starting field position was just 12th, right? I mean, middle of the pack in the NFL as far as average starting field position. I know a lot goes into average starting field position more than just how good your return game is, right? You've got, you know, I mean, you've got turnovers and all that, but if Ryan Switzer can come in and be a better returner, a significantly better returner than what we had a year ago, which I think he can be, and we can turn that average starting field position from 12th in the NFL up to, you know, a top 10 average starting field position, a top 5 even average starting field position, that's going to make it so much easier for a high-powered offense like we have to go down and get easy points time after time. You know, again, it's one of those things that we don't talk about enough because, again, the return game is just an thing, right? We care about how exciting is our offense, how explosive is our offense. Do we care if our offense starts at the 25 versus the 31? Not really, but those things do matter in the end, and so I'm glad to see the Steelers have re-emphasized that this season. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.